The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Heumann for our bi-weekly Vox Green Stocks. You all right, John?
Yeah, not too bad, Justin. How you doing?
Get a bit of fresh air, are you, at the moment?
Yeah, I'm out planting trees today. I'm covered in mud and sweat, and but it's very satisfying. Very satisfying.
Yeah, I can imagine it is. You know, it's one of those things, like, at the time you think, oh, but then you do it, and you know, it's helping everything. The environment gets you out, fresh air, bit of physical activity. It's good for the mind. And in this kind of market, you know, it's one of the things we need to do, get out more. I find almost walking my dog a bit helps sometimes. The market's down and dreadful, and my stocks are taking a hammering, which has happened for the last 12 months pretty much. But it's nice to get out and walk and just... You see nature and you think, in fact, you know, you put it all in perspective, didn't you? You know,
exactly.
Okay, so the screen this week, and do you know what, John? I suggest something, but it's maybe too much hard work for you, but because I've looked at the screen and there's a few on there we've mentioned before, and I'm thinking maybe we should do a screen of screens where, I don't know how you do this, but we look back. I don't know if you should throw me the data, I'll look at it, but look at the duplicates that happen. There's quite a few companies get thrown up quite a few times, and to me that suggests quality, you know. Different kinds of metrics, because you're always screening for quality metrics in certain different respects, but there's a few of them, isn't there, that's coming up. So what's the screen this week?
Yes, I mean, to be honest, I've kept it very, very simple. It's again sort of momentum based, given there's been a bit of a bounce in the market, but I'm just looking at companies that are sort of hitting or close to 1 year highs. So there's about 19 companies that have hit 1 year highs in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And as you say, there's quite a few duplicates in there that we've talked about before. So, there's Warpaint, which jumped out at me a few weeks ago. We've got, there's a few that you like, U Group's in there. I agree. We should definitely, I think about a stock screen review, go back and have a look at some of the companies that have popped out and see how they've done.
Now, the trouble with these, I looked through them all, and a lot of the, like I said, they are 1 year highs. The charts, some of them spiked up, some of them a bit high, but they're the kind of things that they've risen because the fundamentals have been good and they've exceeded expectations. So that's a good thing. So that's the good news. The bad news is you may miss the first move, but as we know, shares don't go straight up. So it's one of these things you need to add to your watch list and maybe put a chart alert on it. If they come down, check the fundamentals again, make sure they're okay, and then think about sort of scaling in, because they're all strong. But do you know what? I was reading a report recently about, I think it's William O'Neill, How to Make Money in Stocks, one of the first books I ever read on stock market investing. And he's obsessed, or literally not obsessed, but he said he only looks at companies hitting their 52-week highs.
Exactly.
It's part of one of the filters he looks at, and he said the reason why they're hitting those highs is largely fundamental, and they tend to go on. If they have a good year, they tend to go on and do it again and again and again, because they've got a very good business, they're a good sector, they made one of the best in the sector, so they tend to grab market share, keep growing, whereas, you know, I know people are obsessed with trying to find the bottom in a stock, but you tend to find stocks that hit bottoms go on to find a lower bottom, and so it's good to look at momentum because there's a good reason behind it, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, a company hitting a 1 year high in a market like this, you know, there's got to be something behind it. And also, you know, as you mentioned, you know, missing that first move. But again, that's not something that bothers me, because, you know, that first move, you know, from a low base, you know, sometimes, you know, there's still plenty of room to go higher. So I'm never worried about, catching the bottom, finding, you know, the first move, because I think there'll be a second and a third when you've got that quality behind it.
Yeah. And if you sort of scale in, I always recommend scaling in, because it gives you a chance not to overexpose, you know, straight away. You get a good, you know, average, what's dollar cost average, and they call it in America, but you know, gets a good average, but also it allows you to, you know, read the updates as they come in. If it's still going in the right direction, then you can still keep scaling in a little bit, and then rather than checking everything in, and of course, you know, if you miss that first 20%, doesn't matter, because some of these companies can go on to do, you know, multiples if they continue to grow. So it's not a big deal.
Sorry.
So just looking through there, I mean, I think we've Crestcheck is a very good company. I think hit in recent highs. So I covered those in the webinar last night for good results and in a very hot sector of, you know, energy security, load banks and all that stuff. Yeah, U Group Energy. What else have we looked at? But Warpaint, you're right. Zoo Digital had them on the podcast a while back. Very interesting. They do sort of digital services for, you know, podcasts and big companies they're involved in. So local translations, all that kind of stuff for film and podcasts, but good technology there. And Enerakua, we've covered that as well. Very hot space of energy. But in the end of the day, right, I've gone down to, we've covered it twice before on here, and I do hold a few stocks, a few shares in the company, and it is Argentex. And so, do you remember, I think you picked them up twice on this podcast before, I think.
Yes, it's one of those ones that, as you say, keeps popping up. But it was through the screen that I first noticed it. And, you know, when we spoke about it, I mean, you know, we hadn't really seen sort of the worst of the UK currency crisis that sort of hit after the mini budget, a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. God, it feels like a lifetime ago. But you know, it struck me that in this sort of day and age, you know, and given the currency pressures that are out there, that this company's, you know, in a really good spot.
So
it did, as you say, popped out the screen, so there's a bit of quality behind it, and it's in a sweet spot.
Yeah, the market cap is about 123, the enterprise value of 98. It's funny, when you look at this, you've got to look at the cash level. Now, they had cash of 51 million, but some of that is ring-fenced because of, you know, what they do. So it's about half that is cash. So then their enterprise value is 98. But the growth, they did mention they're going to exceed growth before the interims come out on the 30th, this is up until the 30th of June. They went from 15.7 million top line to 27.4 million. So the growth there was like 75%, EBITDA growth of 46. They're only on an EV EBITDA level of 6. And going forward, the growth is very good. But what's also compelling is their margins are very good. You know, the EBIT margin is 27%, EBITDA margin is 31%, pre-tax profit margin 23%, so operating margin, yeah, very high, everything. So, there's a lot of cash going to the bottom line, and they're just about expanding. They've got a digital offering now where people can get on mobile, all that stuff, and so and they're expanding geographically. So I think they're just at the start of their journey, and like I said, they're already generating decent cash, and they're growing very quickly, so they can expand very quickly. So, yeah, I quite like that. I mean, the thing is, we talked about them twice. Second time we talked about them, I bought a little few then, but not a lot, because I was so worried about this bear market where it's going. I didn't buy a lot. And then it came up with the trading statement on the Monday afterwards, I think, and it shot up by 20%. And it's one of those things where you think, oh, I should have bought some more. But at least it's going in the right direction. So I will look. I'll probably look to buy some more, but I want to see the chart cool down a bit. It's still in that post-spike phase, which is still a bit volatile. And I wouldn't mind, you know, it flattening out a bit. But I still like them. And, I'll look to maybe buy some more if the chart settles down a bit, you know. What are you going for, John?
What am I going for? There were a couple of companies on the list that, I mean, there's a lot of companies on the list that I like the look of. And another thing that I did was actually look at, I put a column in. I didn't actually filter by it, but I wanted to see what the forecast turnover growth was. So most of these companies, you know, are growing in at least double digits top line, which is good. One of the companies I looked at, which I have looked at before, was H&T. Yeah. Which is essentially a pawnbroker. Mm-hmm. And I wrote about this for Vox a while back because, you know, it's really one of those companies that's in the sweet spot of the cost of living crisis. You know, it's not a nice thing necessarily that people have to, you know, visit the pawnbroker to pay their bills. But, you know, it's better than going to the loan shark, and H&T is one of those companies that helps people who are really going through hard times. It looked quite interesting, but I thought I'd sort of said enough about AT&T in the past. I've gone for something new, and that is CML Microsystems.
What do they do?
Well, they're a semiconductor company. They've been around for decades and decades. I think they were established in 1968. And actually, funny enough, the reason I actually know this company is not through any understanding through the stock market, through any stock market research or stock news, because their head office is around the corner to my old house. So they're always on my radar.
Yeah.
What they used to do was flash memory controllers. So they got into that in 2003, got out of that in 2021. You know, flash memory, it's sort of yesterday's technology, very sort of consumer-led as well. And they've really sort of shifted the business towards what I would say is much higher value applications. So they're a fabulous semiconductor company, which means they don't manufacture their own chips. They design them and use third parties to manufacture them. And they're in sectors like wireless communications, 5G, aerospace and defense, Internet of Things. So this is, you know, machine-to-machine communication. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of a network world, you know, beyond the networks that we understand of phones and, you know, social media. This is machines talking to each other, which is really important, is going to be.
Yeah.
It's becoming really important in things like, you know, managing infrastructure, managing utilities, that sort of stuff. And they're in private mobile radio. So think about the emergency services, the military, and how they communicate with one another. They're the kind of applications that they're in.
Right.
Yeah, so you know, this is really, really sort of high-end semiconductor stuff. There's a lot of cash on the balance sheet, so they've got 22 million quid in cash, having sold their flash memory division. They've got a lot of excess property as well, which is one of the reasons I know them, because this was a sort of a constant saga of what they were going to do with their big site in a place called Langford, outside Malden in Essex. So there's a lot of property assets that are in planning or held for sale. So, you know, really, really, really strong balance sheet, really interesting end markets. We know that the semiconductor industry has gone through a bit of a funny patch recently. You know, the Chinese lockdowns have caused a lot of disruption to supply chains throughout the semiconductor industry. So there's been a lot of worry here, but it's a sector which, you know, offers potential, partly because of the sort of geopolitical situation, to the extent that Warren Buffett has taken a stake in the semiconductor industry recently too.
Yeah.
So you know, you'd be following in good company here by taking a punt on semiconductors. And I think CML looks kind of an interesting way to play it. As I said, it's, you know, it's reinvented itself, probably a little bit under the radar, because people would know it for being something else. Not massively cheap, forecast period 24, but as I say, very interesting applications. And, you know, I'm particularly interested in that sort of whole infrastructure and military infrastructure side of things. I think there's going to be a lot of focus on that in the years ahead.
Yeah. Another company on the list, by the way, who I spoke from the podcast recently, SRT Marine Systems. Have you ever heard of those?
They keep popping up in these. I should have looked at them because they keep popping up and I haven't yet.
Yeah, well, I'm just reading from the RNS, but I was very impressed, actually. They're the global leader in maritime domain awareness products and systems. Now, that's quite good because I thought, what the heck is that? Because you realise it's a niche area, so you're thinking, how many people are in that? But they say their solutions integrate multiple technologies and advanced analytics, innovative digital display systems, logistics. So essentially, for maritime surveillance, and security and all that stuff. So, and they're saying their product's been years basically in the design and manufacture, and they're one of the leaders. But and this year could be the start of now actually commercializing. I mean, they've had revenue before, but if you look at their revenue the last few years, it was hit by COVID a little bit. But I think 6 months they did 18.8 million. This is up from 4.7 the previous year, which was COVID hit. But the year ended 2022 was 8 million. So they've 18 million for the half year. And they are making an operating profit of 2.4 million. But worth looking, I think they're, I mean, funds, as long as they're making an operating profit, it's fine. I mean, they've got cash of 1.5. They've got a bit of debt. I think so short term, it's about 4 million, and long term, about 3 million. So worth keeping an eye on that. But I think if this goes forward, I think, like I said, they, and if you look at the statement, they say this kind of growth now. So we expect this trend to continue going forward, driven by fundamental long-term demand drivers for maritime domain awareness. They say the systems are very busy in delivering all that. So, they're very confident in their product, their technology. But it's one of the ones I've just put on my watch list, and I'll receive, you know, notifications when they release news, because I think it's a very interesting area, and just the growth in revenues is very good. But again, the chart spiked up massively, and it's, you know, I'm just waiting for this to come back down maybe and look at future updates. But, very interesting area. And I just... who was the CEO I was chatting to, but he convinced me. Simon Tucker, I think it was, but he went into, I think it was off the recording, talking about the technology they had, and he lost me a bit, but I sort of believed him. It was one of the best technologies in the world. So, yeah, I quite liked that. So it's just worth putting on the watch list, and, you know, but it's not...
It's funny, the UK really does have some, you know, tremendous, like, you know, as you say, niche expertise.
Yeah.
CML is one of them. And, you know, this whole maritime theme, I was actually speaking yesterday to Harland and Wolff, who've obviously just won a massive contract as part of the consortium with the Royal Navy.
That's the dream for an AIM company, isn't it? I was sub-20 million market cap, and they land a consortium deal of 1.6 billion from the defence.
Yeah. But, you know, the tailwinds are there. And, you know, one of the things that John Wood, the chief exec, and I was speaking about was that you actually, you know, the heightened geopolitical tension is really refocusing. Yeah. You know, governments are on their military capability and particularly their naval capability. So, it is a space worth looking at. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Marvelous stuff. So, John, if you get any downtime from planting trees and you fancy compiling a list of lists, go for it. But we'll speak in a couple of weeks' time, fella.
Absolutely. Good talking, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.